Good morning, Delaware. I'm not going to shout quite so loud this morning because it's Christmas and we should be taking it nice and calmly. So a very Merry Christmas to all of our listeners, to all of Delaware County, and a Merry Christmas to you, Nicole. How are you doing this morning?
I'm just peachy keen. A Merry Christmas to you too, George.
Well, thank you very much. And Gage on the board, thank you so much for your kind work, and Merry Christmas to you too.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
So anyway, we decided we were not going to bother with a guest today. We would just keep it among the family here.
Aww.
And talk a little bit about Christmas, Christmas traditions, some things you can get at the library that tie into Christmas,
mm-hmm.
Some of our favorite music and movies and traditions and things like that.
That's right.
So, Nicole.
Yes.
When your family, what is it not Christmas if it doesn't happen?
Oh, goodness. It is not Christmas if there is not a candle-lit service on Christmas Eve.
Very nice.
In a church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, are we going to be able to do that this year?
There are some churches that are doing in-person candlelit services here around town. My parents' hometown, they have chosen to meet remotely.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a small enough church, and not all of their membership, you know, wants to be able to like log on to church.tv.com and watch a live stream, that can sometimes feel a little cold. They actually are all logging into a Zoom. And so they're all logging into a Zoom. All their faces are up on the screen. And so I grew up in the church, and the church that I grew up in is called a Moravian mm-hmm. church. It's a pre-Protestant. And it still comes from the European background, kind of the area of Moravia, which was like Czechoslovakia and all that corner of Europe. And they brought over this tradition that was a beeswax candle. And they are traditional long, tall beeswax candles. They have little red ruffles kind of around the bottom. And some churches sing Joy to the World, and they light their candles and they hold them up in the air. Some churches sing Silent Night, and they light their candles and hold them up in the air. And some churches sing what we call the Moravian National Anthem, which is a song that probably a lot of people don't know, so I won't elaborate on it. But yeah, so that's kind of the tradition in our house, is that candlelit service. That really is the culminating moment of Christmas, even though it's on Christmas Eve.
That's very cool.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, when I was growing up, my family, we had five kids. And there's 10 years between me and my youngest brother. And so what our tradition was on Christmas Eve was that the family would get together. We would go to an early church service. Then we would come home, and this was the first time we were allowed to eat the Christmas cookies, was when we got home from the Christmas Eve service.
Okay.
But we would do an Advent candle tradition where mm-hmm. on each Sunday of Advent, going down in age, I would be the first one to light the candle since I was the oldest.
Okay.
Then my second brother right down. And then my youngest brother would be the one who would get to light the Christmas Eve center candle.
Okay.
And then he would do that. And then my dad would read the nativity story from the book of Matthew.
Okay.
So that, and then we could eat the Christmas cookies.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was one other part of the tradition that was hellacious.
Uh-oh.
It was just awful. And that was my dad made us all drink eggnog. And none of us liked eggnog. So eggnog has become this kind of family joke. And in fact, when my youngest brother moved to Florida, he sent my dad a nasty gram saying, ha ha, this year we won't have to drink the eggnog.
No. Nope.
So my dad wrapped up
yes.
a bottle of eggnog in wrapping paper, sent it to him. My brother tore open the corner of the paper, saw what it was, and didn't finish unwrapping it. That was about 25 years ago.
If I don't open it, it's not here.
That bottle has moved around our family ever since.
Yes. Oh,
every now
great.
And then, it just turns up, like at a party. When my mom retired, when her principal was presenting her the things, one of the things he presented her was
the
eggnog.
Oh, my gosh.
When my parents celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, we had a big party for them separately. We also all took a cruise, but that was at a different time. But we had a big party for them in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And we, Joyce and I, had to leave before this early Sunday morning because I think Joyce was doing some theater thing and had a rehearsal. So we went to the hotel where everybody was staying, yes. And we were having this big breakfast. We snuck in. We asked the staff what table they'd set up for him. We put the eggnog in the middle of the table and disappeared.
Those are my favorite.
So this bottle of eggnog is probably toxic at this point. We're afraid, like, you know, you put it on an airplane and it explode and take the airplane down.
Yeah, would it curdle? I don't know what.
This is an alcoholic-based eggnog. This is not the stuff you buy in the dairy case.
Okay.
This eggnog has now been, like I said, I think it's about 25, maybe 30 years that it's been floating around the family. So
yeah, after we did the church service, we would go back to my Grandma Winnie's house, and she always had a really nice like Christmas Eve spread at her house, and the Christmas Eve spread always included good food, you know, cookies and things like that. But she would do pigs in a blanket, mm-hmm. which was the I don't think you call them pigs in a blanket, technically. It's the water chestnut with the bacon wrapped around it.
Oh, rumaki.
Yes. So yeah, okay. She would do the water chestnut with the bacon wrapped around it, which was always my favorite. I'd eat like 17 of those. Mm-hmm. And then she would also do a punch. And there was always the adult punch and the kid punch. And I loved it because she would always say, this is the one with the hooch, you know. So this is the one with the hooch. This is the one without the hooch. And it was a big day in the Drum household when you got to graduate to the one with the hooch. That was a big day. The other thing that we did, and I was on a hunt this morning because I was like, what was that story? We would always sit around. We would play a white elephant gift exchange, which always resulted in really exciting, fun gifts. There was a random teapot that always made its way around. One year I opened scissors, you know. Grandma would shop throughout the year and she would just buy random things and then wrap them. And so we would get to Christmas Eve and there would be, you know, 30 gifts in the middle and we would have no idea what any of them were. And we'd be like, do you know what this one is? And she'd be like, I don't know. But she had a book of short stories that we always read from. And there was a book, there was a short story called Little Boy Blue. And it's not the traditional Little Boy Blue, come blow your horn. Yeah. This is Little Boy Blue by Eugene Fields. Oh. And it is, goodness, the saddest story that you've ever read. It was published in, the man who wrote it, Eugene Field, he wrote it, he was alive between 1850 and 1895, and we always read this story, and every year that we read it, it always made Grandma cry. So I was asking my family, I was like, what was that story that we read? And they were like, The Night Before Christmas? I was like, no, not that one. And they were like, The Christmas Mouse? And I was like, no, not that one. And they were like, I was like, the sad one with the crying.
Well, speaking of grandmothers, we had a tradition on Christmas Day because we had the one house. We were at 158 Alabama. My uncle and aunt with their 9 kids were at 160 Alabama. And my grandmother lived at 170 Alabama. So mm-hmm. we had, you know, 15, whatever. I can't remember the total number of Needhams on this one side of the street. We would always get together on Christmas night. And my grandmother would make plum pudding for the whole family.
Okay.
Huge amount. It was a huge production with lots and lots of brandy in it.
Oh, okay.
It was dreadful.
I've never had it before.
It was totally inedible. And everybody would pretend that they were eating it to keep my grandmother happy.
Oh.
And a lot of it ended up in the plumbing in the house. And one year, it was so bad, we backed up the plumbing in my uncle's house on Christmas Day.
I mean, you need a dog. Like, somebody needed to
the
bring...
The dog wouldn't eat it. dog would sniff it and walk away. Oh, it was so awful. It was unbearable. And so after my grandmother passed away, my cousin Mary, who's a very good cook, went out and found a good recipe for plum pudding.
Oh, God bless Mary.
And she would make this plum pudding that you could really like. And then Joyce does a version of plum pudding that's completely different from what my grandmother did and for what Mary did, which is also delicious. So it's like plum pudding recovered itself. But yesterday, I was on a call with some people talking about how bad fruitcake is.
Yeah.
And we decided that the reason fruitcake is so bad was because they were all baked in 1994. Mm-hmm. And they've just been sitting around ever since.
And nobody's found the right recipe to fix. Exactly.
Nope. Gage, you got any family traditions you want to talk about in terms of Christmas?
Well, mostly for my family traditions, we usually go to Pittsburgh because that's where my family's from. Mm-hmm. I always take my little cousins out sledding up back because my grandmother, where we usually go, has a big hill on the back of our house. We always go sliding down that hill pretty much every single year. But I mean, not really anything traditional, really just traveling there. But unfortunately, you know, this year, nobody's getting together. So I'm staying here in Ohio this year for Christmas. So it's unfortunate I won't be able to see my cousins and family and everything. But, you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Well, Corona strikes again, you know. Yeah.
But we talked about that, the Christmas Eve tradition my family had. This Christmas Eve was the first time we've all been together because of Zoom.
Yes.
And because we'd all scattered and so much, and we hadn't had everybody together. And so, yeah, we actually had the Christmas and the eggnog.
Mm-hmm.
Not the eggnog that's been floating around the family, but we all had to go out and get our eggnog.
Okay.
So, or else we couldn't eat the Christmas cookies. So, I'm 65 years old. I'm still following the rules that my parents set for me back in 1954.
As you should.
So we'll talk a little bit about some of the great Christmas materials that are available from the library. And we'll also do a little bit of a poetry reading at the end of this program. So stay tuned and Merry Christmas. Welcome back to Off the Shelf, our special Christmas show. Nicole and I were talking the other day about Christmas movies, mm-hmm. and we decided that there are basically two kinds of Christmas movies. There are the movies that are really about Christmas,
right?
And then there are the movies that just happen to happen around Christmas. Mm-hmm. So like in the first category, there's A Christmas Carol or Christmas Story or, I don't know. Let's see what else would fit into there.
Elf.
Elf.
Christmas, National Lampoon's, Christmas Vacation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then there's the ones that just happen around, like Die Hard and Home Alone.
You're right.
Movies like that where Christmas is there, but it's sort of in the background. It's not about Christmas. Home Alone could have happened over Easter or the 4th of July.
Well, sure.
It could have, and in fact, in the sequels, it did happen at different times. Basically the same story, but
we did it
again. Different holidays. Yes.
That's right. So. You know, another one that was on that list was Edward Scissorhands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happens. Christmas is a part of it.
Right.
There's snow falling. It feels winter and warm and stuff like that. But it's not really.
Meet me in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has that wonderful lead up with all the other holidays and everything. But it climaxes at Christmas.
Right.
But it's
right.
not about Christmas.
Even.
It focuses to the very end.
A lot of people would put Harry Potter and the entire mm-hmm. Harry Potter series in it because just. Hogwarts is so iconic whenever it's that time right before they go home on break mm-hmm. and there's the snow and you have the warm fuzzies, but that's certainly not a Christmas movie.
No, I wouldn't say so. Well, that's right. I can't really get into Die Hard as a Christmas movie because although I love Alan Rickman. That's the first time I ever saw Alan Rickman was in Die Hard.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and he's such a good villain.
He is such a good villain.
Such a good villain, yeah.
I love the way, and he just throws away lines like when they ask him what his demands are, and he asks for the release of these German terrorists, and the one guy looks at him and says, what is that about? He says, I don't know. I just read about it in Time magazine. Just a throwaway line like that, but he was so good at that.
You know, the first time I saw Die Hard was 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
I had never seen it before. It wasn't my cup of tea.
I can't blame you. That's really not my cup of tea either. But,
right.
You know, we have a lot of services in the library that have a lot of good material at the holidays. And so I went out and looked at Hoopla and Canopy and mm-hmm. And at Libby. And under Hoopla, Hoopla's got the most right now.
Yeah.
And, of course, since it's, you know, there's no waiting list for this stuff. So mm-hmm. there are four categories in there that are the best, the most useful. There's Christmas for Kids that mm-hmm. has lots of animated things and family-friendly movies that are set at the holidays. Then there's Holiday Romance, and they have the entire Lifetime series of holiday movies, which are kind of like Hallmark movies for people who want just a little more intellectual challenge.
Sure, yeah.
And they have new holiday movies, and there's a lot of crossover among these. And then they have a whole section on Hanukkah for kids.
Yeah.
So that's all in Hoopla. That's all free. You download immediately, and it's immediately available. So
and the great thing about Hoopla is, you know, okay, so today is Christmas, December 25th. You get your downloads per month. So you can go ahead and you can max out your downloads today, and then you're going to get them all back on January 1st.
Right. So you've got plenty of time to watch the six you download now.
Mm-hmm. And if you've got multiple cards in your house, that's a little library hack there. Go ahead and use them all.
That's for sure. Canopy, which traditionally has more of the kind of documentaries and independent films, has some really good stuff in there. They have The Man Who Invented Christmas, which I talked about a couple of weeks ago on this show,
mm-hmm.
which is about Charles Dickens writing A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
They have a documentary called A Christmas Past, which is nine silent films between 1901 and 1925 about Christmas
yeah.
that are rarely seen anymore, and they've been restored, and they're in a really nice format. They also have a movie called St. Nicholas, The Real Story. So if you're interested, it's a documentary, mm-hmm. 55 minutes about the history of Santa Claus and the saint who was
the basis for the lore. Yeah.
Right? And another documentary called The First Silent Night, mm-hmm. which is about, of course, the writing of the great Christmas Carol.
I love that story. It's one of my favorites.
It's a beautiful story, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they have a crazy one called Jingle Bell Rocks, which is alt Christmas music.
Okay.
Alt rock Christmas music.
I'm there.
So, yeah, it's got like the Flaming Lips and people like that. So, yeah. It's some really cool stuff on there.
Be good for our new 92.9 listeners, right? When 92.9 becomes an alt rock station.
Uh-huh. That's right. Yes. In fact, this is our last week on this frequency.
I know.
So we should be feeling nostalgic about that,
Such
too.
A good run on 92.9.
Yep. So looking forward to our jump ahead next week. And then if you go to Libby, you'll find Miracle on 34th Street, one of the all-time classic Christmas films, totally about Christmas. It starts on Thanksgiving and ends on Christmas Day. You don't get much more Christmassy than that.
Nope.
Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
I love that one.
It's a Muppet movie about Christmas, and it is so wonderful.
The best.
You get great music and, of course, the wonderful Muppet characters. And then I just saw this, and I have not watched this movie. I have no idea what it's about, but it's a kid's movie called Norman, the Slug Who Saved Christmas.
Okay, normally I would say, oh, yeah, I've seen that. I have not seen that.
I'm not surprised that neither of you has seen that, no.
I have not seen Norman the Slug Who Saves Christmas, but I want to.
The title alone makes you just want to rush right out and see it, doesn't it? So
I mean, that's a lot of pressure on just a tiny little slug.
That's true. Mm. That's very true.
How does he overcome the odds?
And then, of course, in the DVDs, it's a little late for this Christmas, but we have a ton of really good Christmas movies that are available in DVD. Multiple versions of A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like A Christmas Carol, that story? I mean, do you have a favorite of those?
No.
You don't? I have.
I like the Muppet one.
Yeah, that for a lot of people, that's their favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Michael Caine. And,
mm-hmm.
Yep, and that's a good one. My personal favorite is the one with Alistair Sim that was made in Britain after the war in 1951.
Mm-hmm.
The one with George C. Scott that was made for CBS back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
He is incredible as Scrooge. I like Patrick Stewart's, which is a fairly new one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, my favorite animated one is, of course, Mr. Magoo.
Oh, well, yes, that would make sense.
I think that would make a great stage show.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it's set up in the cartoon as if it is a Broadway play.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think you could take that music and put it into a production of A Christmas Carol and make a fantastic show. Fill it with other kind of Christmas music.
Starring George Needham.
Take off my glasses. I could be Mr. Magoo. So.
there's also isn't there also an animated version where Jim Carrey is Scrooge? Is that another Christmas Carol?
Is that animated?
Yeah, I think that one is animated. Okay. I think the animation almost is a little dark.
Probably,
But I'm remembering that one as well. But I honestly, that's probably, it's a good story. It's not one that I always go back to. The one that has actually taken up a lot of my time this year is all of the iterations of The Grinch. There, of course, is the original short, The Grinch.
Which is the best.
Yes. Many, many love that one as well. And then also speaking of Jim Carrey, there's the Jim Carrey live action, The mm-hmm. Grinch. And then the one that was released just within the past year or two, the kind of updated animated mm-hmm. The Grinch. And that one is actually a whole lot of fun. My girls have been watching that since July.
I have to say the one with Matthew Morrison that was on.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet. No, it's not quite it's not worth my time.
It really is not good.
Want to just for the spectacle.
Yeah. And there were some really interesting stagecraft things. Some interesting ways that they tied it back to the book.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, the costumes, the
Now, do you know, music. Was that on stage prior to being a made-for-TV on stage?
I thought it was. I thought it was a Broadway production before, but I could be wrong about
that. Like, a lot of folks didn't know last year when they did A Christmas Story, the musical, that A Christmas Story, the musical does exist.
Yes.
Same with Elf, the musical. Elf, mm-hmm. the musical does exist. It was on Broadway. But mm-hmm. I hadn't known that The Grinch was on Broadway.
Yeah, I think so. I believe this is an adaptation of the Broadway one. But mm-hmm. like I said, I could be wrong about that. But Matthew Morrison did his best, but there's just not that good material.
Well, you only have what you can work with.
Exactly. And it's such a small book. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole How the Grinch Stole Christmas, it makes a perfect 23-minute cartoon.
Exactly.
It's really difficult when you stretch it out to 2 hours and 15 minutes. Right. It gets a little skimpy there in the middle. So are there any other Christmas movies that you guys like?
Well, of course, everybody has to watch the 24/7 marathon of The Christmas Story and all of the iconic lines from that. You know, Ralphie, you'll shoot your eye out, and I can't put my arms down. and then I mentioned, I think last week or the week before, the Lord knows mother never had a warm meal in her life is the line that has lived in our family forever.
I love the fact that the mom knows everything.
Yeah.
Because when he's doing that puzzle to try to win the prize, and she knows the name of the Lone Ranger's nephew's horse. And she just says, doesn't everybody know that? And he looks at her like, what planet did you land here
from?
Man,
she's so underappreciated.
She really is. But you can't help but love that movie.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Especially since it's set in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean.
And of course, Molly talked about the Christmas Story house that you can visit last week.
So I think we want to wrap up here with a little something that we put together just for our holiday show and for our last show here on this frequency. So I'm doing the yellow, right?
Yeah, I believe you are.
Okay. So this is the original version of A Visit from St. Nicholas, written by Clement Clark Moore back in the 1850s.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap.
When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Way to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash.
The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer.
With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all.
As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew with the sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and I was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound.
He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry, and his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as a snow.
The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread.
He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Thank you very much for listening on this Christmas Day. I hope you and your family are having a wonderful day and that you'll have a great year ahead. We'll be back with you next Friday on New Year's Day in our new frequency. Gage, tell us the exact number, please.
That is 96.7 and 1270.
We will see you there. And thank you, Gage, for manning the board again.
Absolutely.
And for sharing your memories. Nicole, I hope you win. Willow and Billy have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. And to you and Joyce and the family as well.
Thank you very much. And thank you to all of our listeners. We hope you have a very happy Christmas to all, and to all a great 2021. Bye-bye for now.